Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and dined sumptuously each day. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would have gladly eaten the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus received what was bad. Now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from your side to ours or our side to yours.' Then he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham answered, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he replied. 'But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' And Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be persuaded should someone rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. The whole purpose of Lent, lest we forget, is to become like God, especially to emulate God the Father in his image, Christ the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lenten practices help us to do that. We become more and more like the one we adore in prayer when we pray well. We fast in order to share his hunger and to hunger for him. We give alms because we recognize that we are the extension of his providential love. And we see that in each of these three practices, the real fruit is the way that we treat others. The fruit of prayer is charity, as Pope Benedict used to always insist. The real purpose of fasting is what we heard on Friday and Saturday after Ash Wednesday with Isaiah 58. To care for the needy, not to turn our back on our own, to shelter the oppressed, to give food to those who are hungry. And almsgiving is all about not just the external actions of charity, but about the mercy from which they flow. The Greek word for almsgiving is elemosyne, from which we get eleison in the Mass. And the Latin translation is misericordia, a heart for the poor. The real fruit of almsgiving is that we have a heart that's full of compassion. It's from that tree that the abundant fruit arises. So to become like God, to learn through this season truly to love others as God has loved us first. And God loves us first, even before we ask. And there's something here for us to discover in today's gospel reading. It is, with Matthew 25, the most powerful account of sins of omission that God has revealed to us. Matthew 25, we remember, those who are at the Lord's eternal left say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs? He said, as often as you fail to do it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you have failed to do it to me. They go off to eternal torment. Not because they did evil per se, but because they failed to do good. Because in failing to love others, they were failing to love God. That brings us to the gospel. Jesus gives a graphic scene, but not a fully made up one. This was occurring at his time, and it occurs in every age. Rich man, dressed in purple, mean royal garments, fine linen. Linen was so difficult to make then, it's still not particularly easy today. To have linen garments would be about 300 denarii, or a full year's pay. He was dining sumptuously three meals a day, when the average middle class, if we could call it Jew, would have one sumptuous meal a week. And then there was this poor man at his gate, hungering for the crumbs, like that little chihuahua that the Syrophoenician woman mentioned she would like to receive from Jesus' table, because God always gives far more than crumbs. But nothing was coming from this rich man's table. Perhaps this man was a leper because he had open sores. And dogs were always considered unclean animals because dogs were regularly going to lick the open wounds of lepers. So they were considered carriers of leprosy. But the rich man didn't do anything for that poor man. Notice that Jesus doesn't say he spoke ill of him, that he sent some of his servants to beat him, that he unleashed his own pets to go after and mock him. He didn't do any of that. He just didn't do anything. The larger question is why. He didn't have a heart for the poor. He, in fact, had a stony heart. And that stony heart had come from his idolatry of mammon, from his desire for pleasure, for his individualism, from his pride. We see the type of heart that he had in today's first reading in the psalm. His heart was like this dead lava waste, a salt and empty earth that Jeremiah describes, like chaff that the wind blows away. He wasn't meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, as the psalm said. Lazarus, on the other hand, did trust in the Lord. He was firmly rooted in the living water of that trust. And that's why after his death, he went straight to the bosom of Abraham. What type of heart do we have? Do we have a heart that just doesn't do evil? But do we have a heart truly for those who are needy, such that our heart beats for them like the Lord's heart beats for us? 2 years ago, Pope Francis, in his Lenten message, dedicated it entirely on today's passage. It's by far, in my opinion, his most beautiful of his Lenten messages. He said that there are three points we can't miss in the scene. The first is that God always sends us Lazaruses, precisely because he wants us to convert, precisely because he wants us to be able to grow in love and to become like him in loving. So we should expect these Lazaruses that the Lord himself sends so that we can be transformed through loving them. This is the way he seeks to help our hearts become like under his. The second great takeaway, he says, is that when our hearts are obsessed about the things of the world, our own place, our own needs, our own stomachs, our pride, that's when our heart begins to calcify. We need constantly to be looking around us so that we will never be caught saying, what about the person who was just outside the convent or the rectory or the mission, or the person that you passed every day and didn't notice? Our heart needs to grow stronger eyes so that we can see this around us. But when they're so caught up in looking interiorly, looking at ourselves, that's when we won't notice. And then the third main takeaway is the importance of sacred scripture. Lazarus in the scene is begged by the rich man to dip his finger in cold water and come to him. And the rich man appeals to Abraham, his father in faith. Then if that can't happen because of that impassable chasm, at least send him to my brothers who are not yet in this place of torment, who are still in the middle of the world, so that they might convert, so that they might start looking for the Lazarus around them, because he knew that all six of the bros had stony hearts like lava wastes. Send them at least to help my brothers. And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. All of God's word talks to us about charity. Oh no, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes to him from the dead, then they will believe. And Abraham's principle that Jesus gives us is, if they don't listen to what the living God says through sacred scripture, they won't change their priorities, even if a man comes back from the cemetery. And it's true. We can always duck however many messengers God wants to send when our heart's really geared to ourselves, when we're not listening to God's word. But when we're hearing it and when we're heeding it, that's when our priorities change. Sister, we are living in a world full of these rich men. I still look back to the most powerful homily I ever preached. It was about Jacques Chirac and Jacques Chirac's whole approach to what was happening in the Balkans.